One of the truly compelling aspects of the social media revolution is the book by Thomas Friedman, The World is Flat, the concept that the internet and social media and all of these tools are leveling the playing field right around the world. And that leveled playing field changes the dynamics of business right across our society. Joining me in studio, Stephen Yeager. Stephen is the, are you president? What's your job title?
I'd say co-founders.
Co-founders, easiest. Good enough. Yeah. Outsourcingthingsdone.com. Now, Stephen is one of the kind of the new young guns of the Vancouver new media scene, and they've developed a wonderful website and a web service, which is all about finding knowledge workers, but finding them overseas. Thanks for coming in.
Thanks for having me.
First of all, how did you get started in the whole concept of outsourcing? What started you on that process?
My business partner and I have another company called UberTor that's real estate software, and we've been doing that about 10 years. And about 3 or 4 years ago, we decided to start outsourcing ourselves, sort of dabbling in the outsourcing game and playing with, you know, workers overseas and just getting a feel for how that works to work with somebody that you've never met. And so we started in the Dominican Republic, found a few great guys, liked how it felt, liked how it worked, liked the tools that, you know, the internet enabled us to be able to do this.
So you were using them as knowledge workers in your company,
yes.
helping to develop your application.
Yeah, well, yeah. We started with customer service.
Okay.
And so we had a couple guys doing customer service, liked how it was working. We realized there was some cost savings for us, so we sort of took a radical step, shut down the office in Vancouver, and literally picked up and moved everything to the Philippines.
Wow.
So we have a full 150-seat desk or 150-seat office in right in Manila, where we UberTor is now a client of the outsourcing business, and then we lease that labor from that Philippine office back into the North American market.
So when we think of outsourcing, typically speaking, most of our listeners are going to think, oh, outsourcing is the local school district hiring a janitorial service instead of using employees. That's number one. Or they think on the grand scale, Microsoft has moved all of their customer support to India. We don't think of it on a more boutique or smaller scale, but that's really what you're talking about now, is it's reached the point where it can be used by a broad spectrum of companies.
Yeah. You can literally get one task outsourced and done by somebody down the street from you or overseas, or you can have a full-time person working within your business helping you do whatever you need them to do, web design, customer service, dev.
So before we talk about the practical and the advantage of outsourcing, we have to talk about that 800-pound gorilla sitting over there in the corner, which is, wait a minute, if you're buying knowledge work overseas, you're taking money out of the Canadian economy. How is that being a responsible citizen?
I think it's kind of what you're talking about with the world is flat. We're all it's a world economy. You know, we've got like on days that there's holidays, for example, we're able to run customer service in our software business on a day that's got a holiday when normally that we would be closed.
Mm-hmm.
And so it just gives us the ability to do more with sometimes do more with less or do more and over, you know, beat the expectations of what our client base is looking for. For us, you know, for us personally, we operate on a Monday to Friday 9-to-5 customer service schedule, but we actually do 6 a.m. to 10 p.m. We just sort of promise this smaller amount and do a lot more, and we're able to do that because we're working in multiple time zones and we're utilizing the world's, you know, workforce to help us build a great business.
And in the end of the day, the economies, the cost savings of outsourcing are so profound that if you're not doing it and your competitors are, there's a chance that you might not be in business to pay your taxes anyways.
Also true.
That's my concern.
Yes.
With this sort of stuff. Yeah.
Yeah. And I think it's because it's a world like you know, everything we're probably sitting on in here wearing is come from somewhere else anyways. And it's, you know, it's difficult to stay away from outsourcing now, where it's part of the way the world works. Every business has got things coming from somewhere, and it might be coming from the U.S., might be coming from Philippines, might be coming from Mexico. It's just, it's coming from everywhere, and you know, pieces are put together, and you know, and most of what the outsourcing world, this is a lot of it's knowledge based work, but it's a very cost effective way to build a business.
Let's instead of talking about the 30,000 foot level, let's break it down. Let's just pick an individual and say, how might this person use outsourcing and to get a picture of how it might change the business practices locally. So your other company, UberTor, comes from the real estate market. So if a realtor is interested in outsourcing, what are the steps they take and what do you provide them and what's the net benefit to them downstream?
So it's neat. It's actually great. Realtors are a great example because they're normally a group that couldn't do this. They may, you know, some realtors have an assistant, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
where if you look at the outsourcing model with the tools that are available today, now it's very cost effective for a full-time realtor to have a full-time virtual assistant working for them. And you know what that assistant can do for them is enable the realtor to do more of what they should be doing. So the realtor should be in people's living rooms, shaking hands, getting deals, selling houses, getting listings, dealing with buyers. You know, when they get that listing, putting the listing on the MLS, it needs to be done, but it doesn't need to be done by the realtor. Or putting that listing on Craigslist. Or sending an email to the photographer to get the photographer to go to the house to take the photos. Or letting the sign guy know to put the for sale sign in the property. That stuff all needs to be done. It just doesn't need to be done by the realtor, right? If the realtor can start dumping some of these tasks off on a virtual assistant, they can do more of the high-level stuff that helps them sell, helps them, you know, grow their business, and while still getting the things, you know, on the back end done, just not, you know, not done by them. And that's, I think, a real benefit to them.
So those same tasks could be done by an assistant locally, but
for sure.
What are the cost differences? Like, how much are they saving if they go virtual?
So, like, we sell from our point of view, we sell a full-time virtual assistant that's got a university degree, speaks English, for about $1,200 a month. So that's 160 hours of work product per month from that one individual that you're leasing or you're buying, that one person. It's not shared amongst a bunch of people. You're getting Joe, and he's working directly for you for his whole month. He doesn't have multiple clients.
Wow. So that, I guess that's really important, because training the person, if you're working that intimately with somebody like a realtor, which is all about relationship management, you need to have an assistant that you can trust that's going to treat your clients properly, not going to make mistakes, because every mistake is so costly.
Totally.
So the training is a major component, and the trust is a major component of that. So having a full-time person, probably essential.
Yeah, and because the costs are so low, it makes it, you know, it allows you to have a full-time person. You know, a regular full-time person here, $3,000, $3,500 a month, you could have three or four people for the cost of that.
What about the process of actually managing this person? I mean, it's one thing to be able to look across the desk or go into the next cubicle or next office and say, John, I need this done. Or, you know, even if you're dealing by texting and emailing, you're still look across and see if they're doing it. How is that management process different if the person's in Manila and you're in Vancouver?
So it's a good question. So we're a little bit unique in the way we don't just sell you a human or a helper or somebody to work with in your business. We also try and give you some of the tools to help you be able to succeed. And one of those tools is setting you up with a wiki. So we would set up a wiki for your business. It's a lockdown website that's basically a systems manual, procedures manual, but it's online. And the idea is we set it up with, here's the Philippine time zones, and here's what kind of a computer your guy is on. And, you know, but the basic stuff that we know we can put into the wiki. And then we show the agent or the client, whoever it is, in this case, it's a realtor, how to fill that wiki out with systems and procedures within their business. So the idea is it's kind of following the book, The E-Myth, Michael Gerber's book. So, you know, you run your business like a franchise. So you create this wiki around every single system and procedure that goes on in your business. So when you get a new listing, a realtor gets a new listing, there's 50 things they do to deal with that new listing. And they do it every single time, and they just know what they're doing. The key is to start documenting that stuff online.
Yeah.
So that when you're looking at those 50 items, you could pull some of them out and be like, okay, these 13 can be done by anybody. It just needs to be done. It's not, you know, brain surgery. These 10 require a little bit of skill, but with some basic training, there'll be no problem. And then these ones are left for me because I'm the realtor or whatever.
So the challenge, as with all wikis, is getting the knowledge out of the wetware, out of your brain,
out of your head,
into the software.
Yes.
And if you can do that, if you can, and for all business managers and for all entrepreneurs, which I mean realtors are really entrepreneurs, the challenge is giving up control, is giving over that service. So that's probably the challenge you face with them.
A little bit. And it's with all, you know, all types of clients. It's just a matter of it's painful to write things down when you could make it quicker or do it yourself quicker.
We're going to continue this conversation with Stephen Yeager, outsourcingthingsdone.com. What do you think? Do you like the idea of outsourcing? I think that might have to be our poll question this week if you're on board with the whole concept of outsourcing. But there's much more to it. You're going to want to stick around listening to Dotto Tech.